Hey, welcome everybody. This is Brother Tupos from DontParish.com. Today I want to bring a teaching topic. I've got some brothers listening online. We're doing our video gathering. I want to talk about today when sanctification stops. Not really focused on sanctification alone here. We're going to talk about it. But I want to talk about what sanctification is and then the danger, the warning, what happens or what situation is it when sanctification stops. So let's get right to this and hope this will be a blessing to you. The theology of sanctification, it's really important. It's one that many people don't rightly, biblically understand. And most of churchianity and the church systems have twisted it in mass heresy and man-centered ways to their demise. And to explain that, the most common twisted idea, there's all different kinds of misconceptions about sanctification. The most common misconception about sanctification is the idea that God's doing it in you and that you have little, and most people think, no part in it whatsoever, and that it is up to God to show you sin, and then he's going to work it out in you over time, and he'll purge it out of you, and maybe you'll grow out of it over time, but it's a work that God's doing, and I don't really have anything to do with it. And that's an absolute heresy. That's a lie. That is false doctrine that pleases people's itchy ears, fills up church buildings and pews, but it is not true. So we're going to cover that with some scripture, and we're going to find out, sanctification, is it just a work that God's doing, or is it a work that we do, or is it a work that we and God do together in something like a covenant? Hey, there's a novel idea for you, a covenant. It's a covenant act, and we're in a covenant today, the blood covenant. So we'll talk through this here. Salvation, as we talk about it, it's a faith of endurance and sanctification. So salvation takes faith. We always talk about the gospel, faith in Jesus Christ's perfect work, his shed blood, death, burial, resurrection. We must repent and turn from all false ways in our sin. And when God sees a willing vessel, you'll be born from above. And when you're born from above, you're illuminated to more, and you now walk in holiness and obedience. Yeah, that's part of sanctification. God showing it to you, you doing it. There's a hint. God shows it to us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. As Jesus said, he'll come and manifest, and he convicts and he reproves. Then we have to act upon it. And then, of course, holiness and obedience to endurance. That's the gospel. So salvation is an act of faith and endurance, and its sanctification is the process that we're going to talk about. And it is a process of holiness, proving who you are in Christ, drawing you towards him to be like him, not moving away from him, not living in sin, but cleansing yourself to be more like him. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to show you, as I said in the beginning, that the sanctification process, we'll talk about what it is, and then I'm going to show you that it can stop, and it's a very dangerous thing. And if we're not careful how we live as his redeemed people, we can definitely halt, freeze, whatever you want to say, we can negate the sanctification process completely. I'm going to prove that to you in scripture. So let's get right to some scriptures here. First scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that kind of gives us like a real 10,000 foot level view of what who Christ is. He gives us wisdom. He brings us righteousness. He brings us sanctification. Ultimately, wow, praise God, he brings us redemption because of that gospel I just preached to you a little while ago. So we're going to focus and hone in on this word sanctification. Hagiasmos in the Greek. This is what it means. Purification to purity, to purify, holiness, sanctify, consecration, and it's a consecration and sanctification of a heart and a life. That's kind of interesting. So it's your heart. So your heart is like your feelings, your emotion, somebody would call it your soul, but then it says a life. which means kind of like a husband. You make a decision to marry a wife, and you show up on whatever day you marry her. That's kind of the decision you made, and then it shows up in your life. Now you take care of her, you're faithful to her, you'd give your life for her, you honor her, you love her, she submits to you, so it's a beautiful thing. It's like a covenant. And so that's what sanctification is. It's a process. It's a work that's being done in us, and it is being done through God's Spirit with us working in unity with Him. It's a covenant work. Really think about this. This is important. So we're in a blood covenant. Jesus comes and lives that gospel out perfectly and sheds His blood, and then He calls us to Him. And He calls us to follow, and He calls us to obey, and He calls us to lose our life, and He calls us to leave the world and leave every false way and leave our dreams and aspirations and our desires and our flesh to then follow Him. So we have this beautiful covenant, which is an agreement of two parties, like a marriage. You have a husband, you have a wife. He can't do the wife's job. The wife can't do the husband's job. Together, they each do their job and their part, and the covenant is beautiful. God designed it that way. Well, the blood covenant is that way. Christ did the perfect work, and He's always going to work in us as we're trying to draw near Him, as long as we don't turn away from the faith, as long as we don't go into willful sin. And then He calls us to be doers. And I'm going to share with you scripture verses, and we're going to prove that. So it's a combination work of God through the Spirit and His Word working in us, and us working with Him. It's kind of like how we preach the gospel. I heard a brother just preach the gospel wonderfully to a man, and he talked about the perfect work of Jesus Christ, His shed blood and His resurrection, and I loved it. He transitioned right to, now what's your response to that? Because it's not just Jesus alone, His blood alone, and His work alone. Oh, that's the foundation, but we have to turn to it. We have to place our faith in it. We have to walk in it, and we're going to get to a verse, some verses on that, talking about what we have to do. So it's Christ's perfect work, our response to it. This is sanctification. God working in us through the Word and the Spirit, our response to it. Are we listening? Are we obeying? Are we fleeing all sin and leaving unrighteousness as we go? So it's an act of, and this is kind of going to the Old Testament, I got a verse here for you. Sanctification is like an act of purifying and cleansing, but again, it's not God's work alone. It's something we do. The Spirit's going to help us do it, but we have a part in it. If we look to the Old Testament, one of my favorite things about the Old Testament is there's all kinds of archetypes, if you know what an archetype is. Like Noah built a wooden ark, and he got in it for salvation, and it floated him above the wrath of God. Jesus Christ today is like our spiritual ark. We repent and get in Jesus. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We can leave if we want, but we're held in place by the Holy Spirit, which is an earnest for the marriage supper of the Lamb to come, and Jesus floats us above the wrath of God. So these archetypes are there, and here's a good archetype for sanctification. Exodus 19:10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So in the Old Testament, God had a lot of physical outside things. Cleanse your house of leaven. Make sure you don't touch a dead body. Even when your wife had her monthly period, you couldn't sit where she sat. You would be impure. You would not be cleansed. You would be defiled. You would be defiled. Is the word I was looking for. So God had all these physical things that were done, and that was a archetype of Christ's cleansing coming and His perfect work in us via the Word and the Spirit that we have to walk in. You notice how I keep combining these? Because this is how I'm going to tie this all together. Now, a verse that's really important, and there's many of them I could use. I'm going to use this one. 1 John 1:7. This is how we're sanctified, saints. But it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, so we're imitating Jesus as He's in the light, as He walked in the truth, we have fellowship one with another, so we can first have fellowship with brothers and sisters. If we live in sin, we can't have that because they're not going to have us. They're going to purge it out, and that rightly so. And it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So just look at that whole verse. We can have cleansing, that's sanctification, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. So this shows us it's an act. Jesus did it. We have something to do as well. Sanctification is an act of making us holy. Holy means to be set apart, to be sanctified, consecrated to be made pure. And Philippians 1:6, I believe it is, tells us God is always working in us. He is. Unless we go apostate, unless we completely fall away and turn our back, God is always doing his work. It's like a faithful father. He's always going to be there to help his son until his son, like a prodigal, turns away and leaves him. Then he can do nothing. But a faithful, loving father is always there ready to work in his son. And what are we told to do? What does the Word and the Spirit and the Father and the Son tell us to do? Something we must do for sanctification. Ready? 1 Peter 1, 15, 16. You know, we serve a great God, and he wouldn't tell us to do anything that we can't do. That would be a mean-spirited, basically sadistic father that would tell you to do things you can't do. Look what he tells us to do. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's all manner of your life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do you see what we have to do? This is part of the sanctification process. God sends Christ. Christ shows us the kingdom. He shows us the way. He sends the Spirit. We have the Word. And now it beckons us to come, follow me. And that is the sanctification process. And again, it's an example of the blood covenant, a perfect Savior and a people following him in holiness. God always doing his part in Christ, in the Word, in the Spirit. We do our part to follow and to obey. Go read John 15. I'm not going to read it here. Go read where Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you could do nothing. No branch produces without a good vine. And then Jesus talks about, you must abide, you must remain, you'll produce much fruit. Everywhere, if you start looking for it, saints, you'll see the covenant of Jesus' work, our work. Jesus' work, our work. We don't work our way to heaven. He made our perfect way. We need his perfect righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. But the fruit that we have it, the fruit that he's in us, the fruit that we're born of him, the fruit that we have the seal of the Holy Spirit on us, guess what? We're seeking holiness. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. We're seeking holiness. We're speaking truth. That's part of the sanctification process. Let me give you some more verses on sanctification. There's about 5 or 6 in the New Testament that use the word sanctification. I read one already. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Here we go. See the covenant coming together here? It's the will of God. This is what he wants for you. He sent Christ to help you. He sent the Spirit. He gave us the Word. You should abstain from fornication. He doesn't stop you. He doesn't block you. He gives you a will. You want to be sanctified? Abstain from fornication. Fornication here would be sexual immorality, but there's all different kinds of fornication. You can be sexually fornicator. You can be spiritually a fornicator, cheating on God. That's a worse kind, where they had idols, or they were following strange God, or they were practicing a witchcraft, and God frowns on that very much so. So a perfect example in 1 Thess 4 of God wanting us to do something, asking us to do it. We have to abstain from sin to be sanctified. If we stay in it, we're not sanctifying ourselves. And I'm going to give you a good example of this in a minute. 1 Thess 4:4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What does that mean? Well, every one of you know how to possess his vessel. Our lives are a vessel. And so I tell brothers, when we come to Christ, our life, my life, was full of junk. My vessel, my cup, was full of sin, worldliness, drunkenness, debauchery, fornication, idolatry, you name it. Other than a few major sins, I did every one you could imagine, the worst of the worst. I had to pour my cup out in repentance, not just half of it, not just some of it. I had to pour my cup out, and he filled me up with his truth, his Word, his Spirit, and the living water. And that's what it's talking about here. Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. As you're possessing your vessel, you're keeping it pure, you're not letting a bunch of junk in. And if it gets in, you repent and you strain it out right away. Oh, I know we're not perfect. We're supposed to be complete and mature, but we're not perfect as in sinless, never make a mistake, never falter. But we purge it out. We don't live in willful sin. So we hold our vessel, our life for Christ, in sanctification and honor. You see that we have a part to play? Yeah, we do. We have an action that we must do. 2 Thess 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So once again, look at this. We see that the Spirit is working sanctification, and we know He does. We can't do it without Him. And then it says, believing to the truth. Is that the Spirit believing for us? No. We have to believe the truth. We have to hold our vessel in honor, as that previous verse said. How do we hold it in honor? We cling to the truth. Remember that verse from 1 John? If we walk in the light, I can prove to you via Scripture. Go read John 3, 19 through 21. Jesus is the light and the truth. And so we walk in the truth, and that's part of our sanctification process. If we walk in lies and heresy and false ways, not only do we not honor our vessel and honor God, we tempt that we don't even have salvation because we're worshiping God in vain, as Jesus tells us in the Gospels, like in Mark 7. So once again, that verse, we see both sides, the Spirit working and obeying the truth. How about 1 Peter 1, 2? Elect according to the knowledge of God the Father through sanctification unto the of the Spirit. So there we go. There's the Father's work. He's sanctifying us in the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The Spirit's working in us. What's He calling us to? He's calling us to obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14, 15, keep my commands. Covenant, His action, our response. You see it all over the Scriptures, and I think you can see it in these verses right here. So sanctification is a work of the Spirit to obedience, but it's also something that we must obey, and then we walk in the Spirit. We can't please God in the flesh, Romans 8:8 says, but we walk in the Spirit and we can please God, and we must make a choice about this, saints, every day, every week, every month, every year. We got to be making these choices, and that is the sanctification process. Just as a husband should be becoming a better husband and a better dad every day, week, month, and year, and a wife should become a better wife and mother every day, week, month, and year, we should be better, more complete, mature followers of Christ every day, every week, every month, every year. That's part of the maturity and complete process. That's part of the sanctification process. All of this reminds me of this verse from Romans 6, one of my favorite areas of Scripture. 16 through 18, Paul says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You see that? We have a choice. We have an action to take for our sanctification. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Hey, we don't have doctrine without the Word. We don't have doctrine without the Spirit showing it to us. We don't even have repentance without the Father calling us. But then He calls us to obedience. And then 18 says, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. We're doulos. We're servants of righteousness. Ultimately, we're servants of Christ for His purpose, for His work in us. And so all through these Scriptures, I hope you're seeing His actions, our response. That's sanctification. God's actions in us by the Word, by the Son, by the Spirit, and then our response to it. I think it's interesting here. If we look at the word sanctify, so I was looking at sanctification. Let's look at the word sanctify. It comes up more times in Scripture. Let's use the words of our Master, Savior, Creator, Messiah, Jesus Christ. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I love that. So simple, so pure, so eternal. Sanctify them by the truth. So the word is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Thy word is truth. I have a question. Can we be sanctified if we don't walk in the truth? If we don't know the truth? If we don't love the truth? If we don't cling to the truth? If we don't contend and defend the truth? The answer is no. We can't. We're not being sanctified at all. And again, I'm going to give you an example of sanctification, a real world example. But we're called to obedience because of this work that God's doing in us and Christ's perfect work. Hebrews 5, 9, Christ made the way of eternal salvation. For anybody that just believes? No. For those who obey Him. It's a very, very fundamental verse that tells us His work, our response to it. If we don't obey, We're not being sanctified. There's no sanctification going on. How about the words of our Savior again? John 17:19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That's Jesus. Sanctify myself, that also they might be sanctified through the truth. You know, I early on in my faith life, my wife and I, Sister Ammon, we made a commitment to the truth. And guess what? I don't even think I realized it way back then at the time, maybe indirectly, but we were committed to Christ, and then we both said, we want to be committed to the truth. And I know the Spirit was saying, yeah, that's the same thing. We grew into it, and we were like, you know what? We committed to Jesus, and then we committed to the truth, and we're like, it's Him. It's Him that we committed to, His truth. And a lot of people separate Jesus from the truth. John 14:6, I am the way and the life. Everybody wants that. Brothers and I were just talking. We want the way to heaven, and I want eternal life. A lot of people throw out the truth. Because the truth causes you to do what, saints? Sanctify your life. Be sanctified by how you live, and to transform your life by the Word, by the Spirit, and by your own actions as well. So I love that. Christ sanctified Himself in the truth. He is the truth. So we could be sanctified in the truth. If you're not living for the truth, if you don't love the truth, if you're not striving to grow in the truth, you're not being sanctified. That's what the Word of God says. You're going in the opposite direction. So the truth sanctifies us, and then we must walk in it. And how do we know this is true from Scripture? I'll give you another scripture to back it up. There's a lot of them that say this. 1 Timothy 6:5. What's the opposite of the people walking in truth that are God's people, God's children? The enemies of God. Paul says, perverse disputings of corrupt men, men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. We see people that live in sin and people that turn away from God and people that trample, they've left the truth. The truth is our bedrock. The truth is our anchor. The truth is Jesus Christ, and that we must be in for sanctification. Again, I mentioned it. It's why Jesus said in Mark 7, in Matthew 15, if you follow false ways, you're not in the truth. You're worshiping God in vain. If you're worshiping God in vain and you're not in the truth, you cannot be sanctified to the truth. Think about it. It makes perfect sense. So more verses for you. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse with the washing of the water by the Word. Do you see the covenant there again? That He might sanctify. So God sanctifying us. How? Magically? Just snapping His fingers saying, it's done. They do have to do nothing. Nope. Does He do it mystically? Nope. Cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. God gives us the Word. He puts it in us through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us all truth, John 16. And then we're called to walk in it, obey it, keep it, love it, cherish it. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, continue in sound doctrine, that's instruction in the Word, by which you are saved, and them that hear thee. Why are we saved by sound doctrine? Because it's Jesus Christ, because we're following Him. We're leaving the world, we're leaving our flesh, we're leaving our pride, we're leaving false religion, we're following the truth to salvation. It's Jesus Christ. So that's awesome. The Word is washing us. And I don't know if you think this way, but I do. A lot of times when I'm reading the Word and I really get something, it clicks on me, I feel like I've been cleansed. I feel like in the Spirit, it's like wash something from me. When I run to the Word and I go, is this right what I'm thinking or what I heard? And I go and verify it in the Scripture, I feel like my spirit has been cleansed by the truth and the Word. And you can't get that any other way than by walking in sound doctrine. How about Romans 2:8? Ready? This is another opposition verse. But unto them that are contentious, that's against the things of God, we're supposed to contend for the faith. This is people that are contentious against the faith. Ready? And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So we see all through Scripture this combination of knowing Jesus, obeying the truth, walking in the truth, Him working in us, and us being sanctified by this process. And not long ago, I was talking about recipes. And the gospel is a recipe. It's faith. It's repentance. It's new life. It's holiness, obedience. It's endurance. It's God working in us. It's us working with God. It's a recipe, like a marriage, like keeping a job, like keeping a citizenship, like driving a car. Very few things in life that are good and detailed and worth anything are one thing. Raising a child, It's not one thing. It's a recipe of many things, and that's what I'm contending, that sanctification is a recipe of many things right there. You don't obey the truth, you're in unrighteousness, and you're going to suffer the wrath of God. So I think all these verses have proved to you that both the Spirit working in us in the Word in Christ and the Father, our actions are working to sanctify us. And this is going to bring us eternal life if we endure because of the perfect work of Christ. Can't do any of it without Him. He's the foundation. He is the vine. We're just a branch working for the vine. So I want to give you, I'm kind of a simple man, and I want to give you a real world example. In van life, Sister Amin and I have water filters. And we're prepared that if we ever couldn't find pure water somewhere, we're out far away, I can go to a lake, I can dip a bucket of water out, and I have water filters that the Lord's allowed us to have, that I can pour the water through it, and it will filter out bacteria, dirt, all kinds of things that would make you sick. And just by going through this filter, the water's pure. We can drink it. We don't have to boil it. We can drink it right from this filter. So think about a filter, and you're pouring dirty lake water in it. They claim you can take the dirtiest water and pour it through these filters, and it's drinkable on the other side. So I want you to imagine something. Imagine the Word and the Spirit and Christ are the filter. And your life and your ways and your choices and your actions and your days and your thoughts and everything, your service to God, you're pouring it through the filter of Christ, the Word, and the Spirit. That's an awesome thing. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to cleanse you. It's going to sanctify you if everything is poured through that filter. Now imagine this. As you're pouring through that filter, going into your clean vessel, what if you take a part of your life and you go, I'm going to move the filter and I'm just going to pour that dirty water right in the clean stuff. And I want this to go around the filter. Could be pride, could be lust, could be anger, could be false doctrine, could be partiality. Whatever you decide to go outside the filter of God, I have a question. Has that been sanctified? Can that now go and corrupt the clean places of your life? I think it can. Brother Paul said in Galatians 5:9, a little bit of leaven was a signification of sin, can affect everything. And so think about that. You wouldn't put that water to your family. Hey, I filtered 3/4 of this gallon through the good filter. The last quarter I just dumped the sludge water in there. Drink it, family. You wouldn't do that. You'd say all the water must be cleansed through the filter. Then it's sanctified by which we can drink. So I hope that gives you kind of a real world example, what you would feed your family to drink versus compromised water that you wouldn't do. I think real world examples sometimes can be good for us. So our entire life must be cleansed. We know that one sin, unrepented, willful, can keep us out of the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you some examples of that. I'm going to go to Scripture, and we're going to finally get to my main point. I've kind of set it all up here. I'm going to get to my main point. Ready? I've told you what sanctification is. I've proven, I believe in Scripture, God's working in us. Now I'm going to prove to you it can stop, that you should be on guard every day, that you can destroy your sanctification process like that filter being moved out of the way. Ready? Hebrews 3:13-14. But exhort one another daily. This is one of my favorite verses. I use this with brothers all the time, and they use it. While it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Yeah, guess what happens? Sin can come in. Pride, partiality, lust, greed, covetousness can pry you away from your brethren. It can pry you away from the Spirit and the Word. It can pry you away from Christ. And guess what? You can miss your sanctification, and you can miss eternal life because of willful sin that you haven't repented of. Yeah, I'm going to show you more verses about that. Flies totally in the face of 80% of churchianity that's Calvinistic, that says you disbelieve once, you're going to heaven no matter what. Jesus did it all. You can't find one verse that says He did it all. He did all He needed to do to save us with His perfect work. Now He says, come, follow Me, walk in righteousness, and be My children, and be My sons. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. So we can draw back. We can fall into deceitfulness of sin. How about this one? Here's a Calvinist killer verse that nobody can ever explain to me in the streets when I give it to them. How about Simon the sorcerer, who was an ex-sorcerer, who repented, and he's a baptized believer, and Peter deals with him. Apparently, Peter didn't get the once saved, always saved memo here. Let me read it to you. Acts 8, verse 18 through 24. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Oh, don't worry, Simon, you're in sin, but you're good to go." No, I would have added to God's word there. Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with you." Brethren, when you perish, are you going to be with the Father? No. "Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God." Hey, his heart wasn't right through one sin, and Peter's warning him. "Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." That word means sin. "Then Simon answered and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken of come upon me." Peter rebuked him and said, "You're about to lose your soul if you die in that." Simon said, "Don't let that happen to me." Simon messed up his sanctification because he chose the wrong road. And Peter said, "You're on the wrong side." Simon had to repent and get back. He had to get that filter back in place and get sanctified before the Lord. I'm not done. I'm going to give you more. How about James? James tells us the sanctifying process can be stopped, put the kink in the garden hose, as they say, where it no longer flows. James 5, 19 through 20. "Brethren, if any of you do error from the truth," that basically means sin, "and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and he shall hide a multitude of sins." That's to brethren. That's about sin. That's about a believer choosing sin. That's about us turning a brother from his sin. Guess what? We saved his soul from death. That's not going to be with the Father in eternity. That's judgment and condemnation. He messed up his sanctification. He's got to get it right again through repentance and get that filter going through the Spirit, the Word, and seeking after Christ. How about Hebrews 10, 26, 27? Everybody that knows me knows this verse. "For if we sin willfully, I always switch those, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth," hey, that truth matters. We got to follow the truth. That's Christ. "There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." That's judgment for willful sin, destruction, and damnation. I've actually had Calvinist and churchy people tell me, "Well, that doesn't mean you're going to hell." It says it right there. God doesn't put fiery indignation and devour his adversaries. He doesn't put that on his people. And I have one more for you. Acts 5, another famous verse. A couple, husband and wife, are killed by the Holy Spirit for what? Acts 5, 3 through 5. "Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie," one lie, "to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart?" His heart went in willful sin against the Lord. "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." One lie, unto God. "And Ananias heard these words and fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things." Yeah, that can happen to us, saints. People die today. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, people are sleeping because they take the Lord's Supper unworthily. So I promise you, his sanctification was messed up. That process was not put through the filter. It wasn't working in unison with God. It went against God. And when we go against God, that's called transgression. That's called sin. It has to be cleansed and purged by Christ. And we do that through repentance and turning from the sin. And then he's faithful and just. We walk in the light. And he cleanses us. So I want you to ponder this, all you saints that are listening. If we live in willful sin, lust, pride, laziness, covetous, whatever, partiality or lie, are we not stopping the sanctifying work that the Father wants for us? He wants to work it. He doesn't want us to sin. He doesn't want us to go against the Spirit and the Word. And aren't we bringing condemnation and judgment on ourselves? Aren't we letting go of the life rope that is our only hope? Christ is our only hope. Aren't we letting it go? I want to read this verse to you. It's a stark reminder. Revelation 22, 14, 15. You don't think one sin in your sanctification process matters? Blessed are they that do his commandments. Do. There's another do. That they may have the right to the tree of life. Did you notice? Christ gives us the opportunity, the eligibility to get eternal life. And then we have something to do because of what he's done to get the right to it. That's not my words. That's the words of eternal scripture. That you may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the city gates. For without our dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That doesn't even say a lie unto God. Ananias was killed for a lie unto God. This says we're going to put you outside for just loving a lie. Pagan holidays, false doctrine, anything you do that's lieful and you know it. And so ponder that. One lie is going to put you out of the kingdom. And I want to close with the words of Jesus Christ to the bodies, the ecclesia in Revelation. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. You don't think you can mess your sanctification up by living in sin? Go talk to Jesus. He says, I won't blot your name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If we're not overcoming, that means we're living in sin. That means we're turning away from the Lord. That means we're falling back. That means we're fearful of men. Anything opposite of the will of God, holiness, righteousness, we're not being sanctified saints. We've messed up our filter. Maybe we poked a hole clean through our filter. And we need to get back and ask God for a new filter. Or we've moved the filter out of place so we can keep some sins that we kind of like. No, you're not being sanctified in that. You're living in willful sin. So I hope this has kind of been a blessing to you to see sanctification and how it works and how it can be stopped. Last thought I want to give you. God will never stop doing his work in his people. I believe that. I know that. If we're drawing near to him, if we're seeking him, if we're doing his will. But if we choose sin, willful sin, and we stop the work that he desires to do in us and the work he desires us to do, walking in holiness, sanctification will stop. That process will stop. And we endanger our very salvation through unrepented, willful sin that cannot be cleansed by the blood of Christ unless we're walking in the light. So take that heed, take that warning today. Do not be deceived by the lies of churchianity, by your flesh, by corrupt ideas about sanctification, the theology of men. Fear the process, saints. Fear sanctification. Reverence for this holy God. Fear and trembling, Paul says in Philippians, we should work out our salvation. And strive every day, every hour, take every thought captive, the Bible says, to be sanctified in the truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. I hope that blessed you. Check out all the other verse by verses. Check out all the other teachings at don'tperish.com. And the brothers and I will have a commentary on their thoughts on another audio about this teaching. So stay tuned for that as well. Thanks for listening. We love you all. And may God be praised.